Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do the show, bitch.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
I know you fat bastards want to eat some of this.
With Ben Higgins.
Go to hell, pro sports.
Steven Woods.
That was incredible.
And Paul Reindel.
All right.
Get ready, tier ones.
Oh.
It's Ben and Woods.
Finally, the chance for somebody to get on and do some good sports talk radio.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, everybody.
Do the show, bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, the week.
Everybody, Ben and Woods back together on a Monday. Let's get our heads right as best we can. It is a Monday, March 20th. We are 10 days away from opening day, and it feels good. Tomorrow we'll be down in the single digits, and that's when you really start to get filled with excitement and get all tingly. I've got breaking news for everyone listening. It's raining again. Shocker. Raining, sprinkling lightly, rained pretty heavily overnight. The roads are wet. It's very slick. Got a few more days of this, and then it looks to be moving out of our area, hopefully for a long, long while. We've got a lot of stuff coming up outside that we want to make sure is not underwater. So hopefully we get that done. Please be careful on your drive in this morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's our executive producer, YouTube director, man about town. There he is. Good morning, Paulie.
Smash that like.
Smash
drop a subscribe.
Drop that subscribe. That's important. I didn't realize how important it is for people to actually subscribe to your
YouTube.
Leave
a comment.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Like, literally just clicking the thumbs up
helps
on
us.
The video. It helps us.
That's good. All right. So
I'm not
going to. Don't listen.
I feel weird like soliciting it every single day, but we're still building the channel. We're still starting out. And look, ultimately, it does help. It's stupid, but it makes a difference.
If you listen to this program and you enjoy this program, let's be honest with each other. You're basically a freeloader. You get this for free. You're generally a no-good freeloader by listening to local radio. You don't pay a nickel. You don't have to go see our advertisers. We want you to. But it doesn't cost you a dime. Not one dime.
The least you can do.
The least you could do is go hit subscribe and tell some friends to do the same, you freeloading turds. I love you guys, though. Couldn't do this without you. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood non-bespectacled sports anchors here. What is going on? Now I'm domed out because you don't have your specs on. Did you get contacts?
No, just Monday morning, and I left them in the car instead of putting them on as I came up. I don't really need them for close-up. I can read what's right in front of me. I'm nearsighted.
Question.
So if I need to read an eye chart, I'm in trouble. But
right.
Usually you don't ask me to read anything far away during this show.
Do you ever forget stuff?
Oh, yeah, of course. We all forget stuff.
Right. So none more than you, I would
say. Problem with the rain, other than the normal getting in the way of all of our outdoor activities like golf or beach or whatever you want to do, is all the rain has led to this just beautiful, everything is so green and lush and everything is growing, but that leads to allergies. And I had a bunch of allergies this weekend. And then all these little plants also lead to bugs. And I was out at Goat Hill Park wearing my Goat Hill and my Link Soul today.
Yep.
And I breathed in a bug. Not like swallowed a bug. It didn't just go in my mouth or like into my, like the back of my throat and I swallowed it. I actually was right in the middle of one deep breath in. I saw it kind of fly by the corner of my eye, and then I felt it fly all the way down. Like, all the way down. Like, inhaled it deeply. Stop. Like, rich and deeply. And I was coughing and coughing and coughing, and nothing came out. And I think it's still in there. Occasionally, like, I don't know if I'm imagining it, but I feel it living inside of me.
Just living.
Making a new home and a family down there, and I don't know what to do. I can't get it out. It's just there. Do I need surgery? What do I need to get rid of this tiny little, like a gnat or something that is now inside of me?
All right. So do you have any idea, do you remember the size?
It felt like it was very little and black just out of the corner of my eye. Like a gnat is what I'm thinking.
I feel like there's no way a gnat survives down through the...
What can a bug survive, though? I mean, they're fairly hardy creatures, aren't they?
If it gets down in your throat, your right. throat has acid.
It's not in my throat, though. It's in my lungs.
It bypassed the throat immediately.
No, it went right straight down, breathe deeply, inhale, like right into the lungs, not into the throat. Felt like it went way down, like in.
You just got to get it down into your stomach then at that
it's
point.
Not, but it missed. There's like a fork in the road.
And it took the one less traveled.
It took the one less traveled. It went down.
Robert Frost.
Yes.
On a Monday.
And I'm just picturing, like, okay, so it's down there. And, I mean, it's got air because all the air is coming down. That's where all my air goes. So it's getting great oxygen. It's warm.
Do you feel it right now?
It's moist. It's a good environment. And I don't know what it's eating. It's eating me.
And it's eating your lungs.
From the inside. And, you know, it's starting a family. I don't know what's going on down there, and I can't get it out.
Two roads diverged in a chubby man's throat. And sorry I could not travel both. And B, one traveler, long I stood and looked down as far as I could go to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was gassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no back.
It's a much longer poem than I remember.
Had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day.
I never made it this far.
Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a chubby man's gullet, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference.
Just means don't always be a follower. Don't do everything same thing everybody else does.
Exactly.
Do your own thing
Take
sometimes.
Take the road less traveled. Also, if you do the road less traveled, be prepared to get lost a lot. Be prepared to get lost a lot as you find your way through this, through life, maybe through your innards. It's scary. It's a little bit creepy. The fact, all I would think about is that it's down there and it's hatching larvae.
That's what I'm thinking
and
about.
And then my stomach or my lungs will be filled with gnats.
Tim says, I've seen this movie. Didn't end well for John Hurt. I don't even know what movie that is. Is it like The Bug that? Or The Fly or something? Do they get eaten alive from the inside? It's been 2 days, and I still feel like it's down there.
I think you're doming yourself out. I don't think there's any way a gnat could survive down there. Now, it could be a cockroach, a baby cockroach.
Really?
Oh. Those will survive anything.
Right. The apocalypse.
Yes.
They're around forever. Do they fly, though?
Yeah.
Cockroaches fly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Why do they always live under refrigerators and stuff?
I don't know, but they
can. If I could fly, I'd be like out and about.
Yeah, they can definitely fly. I'd be a little nervous if I were you.
Felt smaller than that, but maybe just a baby.
A baby cockroach. Yeah.
All right, that's my weekend.
That's maybe
how was yours?
The worst weekend I've ever heard.
T-ball. I saw some T-balling from your son, Bo.
Did have the rite of passage for father and son this weekend, and got to tell you, it did not disappoint in the slightest. It was pretty legendary to be able to go out and coach my kid up and watch all the practice that we put in come to fruition, and it was really special. He hit the ball hard all three times. I would say a 3 for 3, pretty easily, and then made every play. Now, the interesting thing about T-ball, and those of you that have coached T-ball, you know your main goal on defense is there's two. One, don't get any kids hurt, okay? Number two is try to make an out. If you can get one out.
I didn't realize out, there's ever been an out made in T-ball.
So we actually had an out made against us first. Oh. And the competitive juices started to flow. Like, that guy had no business making that play. We need to make one. I was talking with my other assistant coaches, my buddy Travis, and he goes, we got to get an out. I go, yeah, we have to get an out. We have to. I'm not going to not get an out today.
Usually the only time outs are made is when the runner doesn't understand the concept of going to the base and randomly runs places to maybe the guy with the ball who then tags him. And then, those are the only T-ball outs that are made.
The funny thing is, though, is you still let that kid stand on base.
Right.
But you
it
do,
would hurt their feelings to
correct,
make them go back to
go
the
back
dugout.
And sit in the dugout. That's the other thing I realized is, look, we don't keep score. Your main goal is, I hope they have a blast. I hope they learn a little bit, a little something about, hey, where to go, where to stand, to be ready when the pitch is, the quote-unquote pitch is coming as it's on a tee. But so I had Bo at third base, and they had an entire lineup of lefties. Nobody even hit one to third. So I asked him, in this first inning, I go, hey, you want to move over to the pitcher spot? And where they're kind of nubbing everything up the middle, I said, you'll get some action. And he looked at me in tears in his eyes. He goes, no, I don't want to. I go. Why? He goes, I don't know what to do. And I go, you do. You've taken 25,000 ground balls. We throw ground balls every night in the living room. You know how to field ground balls. I don't want it. I go, all right, I'm not going to push you. So then after a couple innings, he goes, Dada, can I play pitcher? I go, yes, you can. So he gets out there.
He just needed some time to get used to the idea.
To look, and he goes, all right, if they hit it to me, what do I do? I go, you're supposed to throw it to first. But I said, if you see that you have a path, pick it up and run to first and step on first base.
The old one unassisted.
The old one unassisted. No, don't worry about PFPs. Just go up there and take it yourself. First ball back to him. Backhands it, knocks it down, picks it up, runs over, and gets the guy at first. My heart exploded in my chest. We were so happy. And he made 5-6 other plays after that.
Now, on balls hit between the first and second baseman, did he good job running over covering for the underhand toss?
No.
First baseman?
No. He didn't have any tweeners. They just kept hitting it back to him, and he'd pick it up and throw it to first, and the first baseman would look at it and watch it go by. It was really cute and really sweet. But, man, all the kids, man, and the other team, too, the coach, I didn't catch his name, but he walked up. He goes, hey, man, love your show. I was like, oh, man, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Now prepare to die. Today out here on the T-ball fields, and they were so fun. All the coaches are encouraging of both teams, and it was really sweet and fun. And he really played well, and it was fun to see. And he left there with a lot of confidence. And he said he was really nervous, really really nervous for game one. But man, he crushed it. Hannah got some video of him just leaning on balls. It was so fun. So all the kids love to come in. They all love to slide into home. And it was a really sweet, fun experience. And it does make you go, all right, man, what's this going to look like in 3 or 4 years, 5 years? Is he still going to want to play? Is he going to be, is he going to be into it? And I think he will be. And if he's not, that's okay, too. But it was pretty special, man. It was a special moment.
Well, we've got a lot to get to today. I don't want to cut Foreplay short. We've got it. We pretty much have a full Foreplay in already. But obviously, the baseball news from, you said, opening day is 10 days away. The Padres already dealing with a couple of injuries to some lineup regulars that we have to get into, I think, fairly quickly here. Both of them happening yesterday. If you haven't heard the news, we will get you updated there. World Baseball Classic, we're down to 3 teams left in the tournament. Second semifinal tonight, then the championship tomorrow night. It's over. And, of course, the NCAA tournament, the Sweet 16, San Diego State just for the third time in program history, is among the final 16. And they're going to go up against number one Alabama on Friday. We'll talk about the weekend, the games on Saturday morning against Furman, everything else you watched, how it's going for. I know Woods' bracket's doing all right. Mine not so good. I had Kansas as the titleist. So we will get into the brackets and the NCAA tournament and much more. Our tournament of drops continuing today. We've got the Elite Eight results for you at 8 o'clock, and we'll get down to our final four of our favorite sound bites and funny clips from over the last year.
Man.
So much to get to. We'll get things started. Let's get into those injuries, though, because I know we got a big Padres audience.
It sucks, dude.
Getting excited for the season. I think there's no reason to panic, but it is a reminder
this
that
is
everything.
How it starts.
Everything is always a little tenuous when it comes to baseball.
This
so
is how it starts.
Get to that coming up next. I think we got a listener Joe selection, it says here, for our Daily Ditty.
It's a good one.
That's coming up next. We'll check traffic. Those rainy roadways never look good. Always a tough day for Kelly when that happens. And then we'll be back with more here. Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
It was always cold. No sunshine.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Yeah, this is Natalie Merchant, River. She formerly of 10,000 Maniacs was the her band, but her very successful solo career. Those of you that are listening on the stream, you can't hear it. Sorry, so I typed it in there for you. A beautiful, beautiful song. Women who rock, women who slay. It's National Women's Month, so yeah, there's plenty of those in the music land right now, Ben, that are just killing it.
Yeah, we'll continue that all week long.
We will.
Month theme. I'll be here tomorrow. First vacation doesn't start until Wednesday.
First vacation started midweek last week.
I'm still here. I want to talk basketball. I want to talk Padres. I'm here for it.
Isn't that convenient?
I'm here for it. Don't worry. All guests on Ben and Woods appear on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Double dose of bad news for the Padres yesterday.
Indeed.
I don't know which one happened first. We learned, obviously, about the Austin Nola injury first because we saw it happen in the top of the fourth inning of the spring game against the Cubs when Michael Fulmer, the right-hander for the Cubs, let one get away from him, and it went right up, and hit Austin Nola directly in the face.
Yes.
And there's nothing scarier. I mean, it really was my ultimate nightmare when I played baseball as a youth. Just the one thing that you know you can't control. It happens every once in a while. And Austin Nola took one, as it turned out, right? Maybe the bridge of the nose. Bob Melvin said it got him squarely on the nose. He was down on the field for several minutes, trainer trying to staunch the bleeding. And Bob Melvin said, I don't know for sure, but it's got to be broken.
I think his quote was, "There's
it hit him in the nose, so I can't imagine it's not broken."
Yeah.
But they were, last I heard, they were trying to stop the bleeding. He was doing okay, but I mean, like I said, I can't imagine it's not broken when it hit him square in the nose.
No, I saw it. I watched it. It was excruciating to watch. He's been having a really nice spring. He is your opening day starting catcher. Bold prediction. I think he'll be in the lineup opening day. Number one, he's a catcher. Number two, you know, the swelling will go down. Many guys have played with a broken nose or a very uncomfortable nose. I think he'll still be in there.
Will he have to wear some sort of like face protection, though? Could that make things a little more awkward? He was having a really terrific spring.
Very nice.
And, you know, is this going to get him out of the groove that he was in? Even if it's not a long-term injury, and you're certainly hoping that it's not, it's far from ideal for either Austin Nola or the Padres to have this happen so close to the start of the season.
No question. There's no question about it. But again, he was up, own power, holding the towel. Like, it's super scary. And they all wear most of the guys, if not all.
The one side, it's mandatory.
Is it mandatory?
Yeah, you have to wear the face protector now.
The face protector. And so it looked to me, it looked like it clipped it and then kind of exploded into his face. I'm glad that thing's there. I really am. I've seen, you know, we saw Giancarlo Stanton wear one in the jaw, and he was one of the first guys to come back with that extender. And it's pretty nasty when it happens. It's hard, man. Those guys, Fulmer still throws pretty hard, and it's hard to kind of turn your body and your head away. And, boy, you'd love that one in the shoulder. You'd love that one square in the back.
Anybody at that level, it doesn't matter who it is. It's going to hurt if it hits you square in the nose.
Square in the nose. So I feel like he'll be okay, just because, you know, if you've ever broken your nose, you know it sucks and it's uncomfortable, but it's not like you're going to be out of commission, laid up. Just a matter of if he's, yeah, like you said, man, losing any of that mojo he had been building.
I haven't broken a nose, but I've been hit in the nose, and it hurts. Like, you instantly start crying. You're just like,
watering,
I can't control it. It hurts so much.
It sucks.
It can be like a not that hard of a hit, but if it gets you just square on the nose, it hurts
I want to say my pops has broken his nose like a dozen times. Like,
oh my God.
A dozen times. So when I was a kid.
Did you do some boxing in his youth or something?
Football,
my goodness.
He played every sport, but like football, he goes, my nose was a magnet. You know, you turn it.
Did he play before the face mask era of football?
It's funny. It's funny you say that, though. When he used to play, like, Paulie's playing rec league basketball now. So when I was a kid, he used to hoop with some of his buddies. And I'd never seen it before. I'd never seen an NBA player wearing it, but he had that creepy mask.
The clear mask,
but it wasn't clear. It was nude colored. It was a nude colored mask that would guard his face. And I remember seeing him and being like, I was like 10. I was like, dude, no. But he had to. He goes,
hello, Clarice.
He goes, if I break my nose again, I could die. Like, bones could shoot.
Well, and
my
that's
brain.
The worry for Austin Nola as well. Doctors could, you know, be concerned about not, you know, just if it happens again, it could be a real problem and may mandate, you know, some healing time before he can put himself out there and risk it again. We'll find out more, you know, probably today or tomorrow from Bob Melvin and Sammy. Spring training will certainly get us an update as soon as he hears anything. He'll join us at 9:35 this morning. But there was also a B game yesterday. Padres trying to get some work in. Nick Martinez pitched in that after he left Team USA. He said, hey, if I'm not going to pitch, I need to get back to the Padres and continue to prepare to start at the beginning of the season. But in that game, we find out later in a report from the UT that Juan Soto was removed with a mild oblique strain.
Okay.
Day to day, all the things they're talking about, not too worried about it. However, you know, compared to a broken nose, doesn't seem as bad, but the obliques are always the worries because sometimes those mild ones just linger around and can be problematic injuries that last and last, sometimes for months. You know, those oblique strains, they just never quite figure out how to make them go away. Hopefully that's not the case.
Was it Will Myers that had that, like, last year or 2 years ago? It sounded like all season long, all we kept hearing about was, yeah, he's still dealing with an oblique strain. He's still dealing with an oblique strain.
I mean, think about it. Think about the torque. Think about all of the, you know, the force that goes into a Juan Soto swing. And yeah, you could imagine an oblique would really, really get
now,
in your way.
Luckily, it's his left side. So for a left-handed hitter, still his hurts. Right side would be worse.
I don't know, man.
It would be worse.
That's kind of where you come through and twist. I don't know, playing junior doctor in here this morning. It's not ideal at all, but what you don't want, and I think the majority of, and you could ask any big leaguer that ever played, the majority of these guys get used to playing with the nagging heel, the nagging, you know, if you're playing first base, but your elbow's just kind of nagging all year, like all these guys can play through it. With an elite, elite hitter that Juan Soto is, and by the way, has really been looking like again, based on his at-bats in spring training, based on his at-bats at the WBC, you know, we were and are expecting the best from him. So I don't know, man. This is one that kind of concerns me.
So question for you guys. Last season, of course, Manny Machado raced back from his, what we're now finding out, is severe ankle injury to come back in 9 days because they needed him on the field. He needed to be on the field, and it was critical for a Padres team that was, you know, looking to take that next step. I wonder, this season, as loaded as the Padres are, does Bob Melvin look at injuries in a different way and say, I think we need to be on the extra, extra cautious side. And if anyone's feeling anything, let's give him a few days. Let's sit guys down. If he needs a week, let's give him 10 days. If he needs 2 weeks, let's give him 3 weeks. Because, to be frank, we're good enough that we can survive an injury or two. What you can't survive is pushing guys through a bunch of injuries,
right,
and then having them all break down in September and October when the playoffs come around. You want to keep an eye on getting guys healthy at the end of the season. Does that change the way you manage, the way you put guys in the lineup based on injuries this season?
Let's take a break and let's come back with that, because I want to get what the Tier 1s have to say too. I have my ideas. I'm sure you guys have your ideas as well. And we can get to that when we come back.
We'll get some first thoughts on the NCAA tournament as well. The Aztecs into the Sweet 16. All ahead with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's a strange day. The roses are in bloom, but in a strange, somehow we're doomed. Look around through the town, not a soul to be found. In silence, not a sound.
Well, after all this time, we were wondering if we'd see Jurickson Profar on opening day at Petco Park. And now we will. With the Colorado Rockies signed over the weekend.
If you don't get to some Aztecs talk, Jason Garcia 777
one-year
is going
deal.
To lose his mind.
Does he want to talk Aztecs?
He said
we will talk. Obviously, we're going to talk some Aztecs.
Well, he said the first segment should have been 100% SDSU basketball. I said, hey, well, listen, we always do foreplay, then we knock that out and just get loose. And then I said, we like to save the Aztecs for a longer segment, which is this one. He says, not talking about foreplay, talking about spring training injuries versus March Madness week. Ben, step up and take control.
The reason why I did that, though, was I didn't want to get, you know, like a four-minute segment. I wanted to give plenty of time. Then again.
Thank you.
Then again, what do you want me to say? They played.
Lights out!
They played exceptionally well on Saturday morning against Furman. Probably their best game of the season, if I'm being honest.
Glass half empty, Paul would say. Well, that was pretty close for like 6 minutes.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because.
But after that, it was all Aztecs.
I had to jam and go to the fields for T-ball. So I missed the part that I saw in the morning was close. It was like, oh, God, here we go. And by all accounts, second
went on a 15-0 run late in the first half, and it was over. I mean,
Furman didn't score for like 11 minutes.
There was none of that normal ennui, that angst, that existential dread that comes with being an Aztecs fan in the second half, where you think, oh, what, they're going to blow it, or it's coming down. There goes the lead. What is happening? They're falling apart. It never happened. It was the least stressful. I mean, there were plenty of regular season games that were more stressful than their second-round NCAA tournament victory over Furman on Saturday morning. They got balanced scoring. Micah Parrish had a great first half. I mean, he's probably, what, the ninth guy out of the nine that play regularly? And this is what Brian Dutcher has continued to say, and what separates the Aztecs
this week.
It's what separates the Aztecs from most teams in college basketball. Their first guy and their ninth guy, probably Matt Bradley and Micah Parrish, not really separated by that much. Yep. It's nine guys. They're all fairly interchangeable. They all play good defense. You just don't drop off when you go to your bench, and other teams do. And every time that happens, the Aztecs go on a run, and their bench scoring just wallops the other team consistently when they go in.
Outside of Mensah, like, they can all play the other four positions on the court, most of those guys.
And Mensah can
see him fighting for rebounds and then bringing the ball up the court.
And while offensively, you know, Mensah's, you know, one-dimensional underneath, although he can pop out and hit a, you know, 12-footer if he needs to, defensively, he's incredibly versatile.
Yeah.
He's one of the few big men in college basketball who, if he had to guard a, you know, 6'3 guard, can actually stay in front of them, you know, make things difficult. So there's no one you can't guard on the other team. I mean, the only time the Aztecs ever get in trouble defensively is when somehow they switch and Darion Trammell ends up on like a 6'8 guy, you know, and then you better, you know, scramble and someone better help him out just because he's a little shorter. Other than that, they've been playing incredible defense, and then the offense was added to it on Saturday morning. So here they are in the Sweet 16 for the third time in program history. And yes, they beat two double-digit seeds to get there. In fact, if you look at the combined total of the two seeds that were beaten in the first two rounds, of the 16 teams, the Aztecs had, quote-unquote, the easiest road to the Sweet 16. Even the team that beat Fairleigh Dickinson, Florida Atlantic, they beat a 16 seed and an 8 seed. Those add up to 24. The Aztecs, two seeds that they beat, added up to 25. So take it a little bit with a grain of salt. They're going to go up against a number one seed in Alabama. If you missed it, that game announced going to tip off at 3:30 on Friday at the KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky. The first game of the South Regional Semifinals doubleheader, followed by Princeton against Creighton, which is interesting as well because the Aztecs are now the second-best seed remaining in the entire South region. You know, yes, they're 7-point underdogs, I think, against Alabama, but if they found a way to win that game, no matter who won the other game, the Aztecs would be the better seed, would be wearing the home uniforms, and would likely be favored to reach the Final Four. If they can pull off now just one upset is all they need to reach the Final Four. How can you find a better situation for a team like San Diego State? You don't have to win four giant upsets to get to the Final Four. We're talking about one. Yes, it would be a massive upset, but we've already seen much bigger upsets in this NCAA tournament. You've got one upset, and you've got a path to the Final Four for San Diego State basketball. This is it. This is the greatest opportunity this program has ever been presented.
Well, and I think it answers a lot of questions by going out and handling business against Furman. It's one thing to go out, Ben, and beat Furman by one or two because it's your classic, like, oh, God, oh, we were lucky enough that they had a huge upset and that's who you faced, okay? So the fact that you didn't go in there and you know, crap your pants and say, oh, God, you know, this is a classic trap game for SDSU. The fact that you played your best game when it mattered the most against a team you're far superior to, that's got to give these kids a lot of confidence. And, you know, I wonder how they're feeling today as far as I wonder if they were ready to get back on the court the next day. Something tells me that they were. Now, they've got a very, very formidable opponent in Alabama. Those guys are nasty. But I am seeing national pundits across the country saying they're going to give Alabama fits. They're going to give Alabama fits. Defensively, you know they can play with them. You know they can. Offensively, you're going to have to find a way to score on that team.
I can make a case, a good one, for San Diego State. You want to hear my case?
Yes, always.
For the Aztecs. All right, we'll get to that. First, this hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Bob's Discount Furniture, home of the world-famous Bob Opedic mattresses, with all the comfort and quality of a national mattress brand for half the price. No matter your budget, there's a Bob Opedic Memory Foam Hybrid or Hybrid Plus mattress for you. Check them out at mybobs.com. I'll give you my case, and you tell me if you believe it, for San Diego State over Alabama after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, so my first argument for San Diego State against Alabama is the old nothing to lose. San Diego State could lose by 40, and their season is already an unqualified success. They got into the Sweet 16. I know Brian Dutcher and those players would be disappointed if they don't. If they don't play well, and even if they don't win, I think they're expecting to go in there and move on. But even if they don't, I think in the back of your mind, you know what? You're coming home as champions. You're coming home to a hero's welcome. It was a great season for San Diego State basketball. Takes a little bit of the pressure off. That can be both a good or a bad thing. But Alabama is not in that same situation. They're a number one seed. The expectations are very high. They come from it's Alabama. They're used to winning in football. The basketball team really would love to join that, you know, that parade of champions that they've established in that conference. You know, losing in the Sweet 16 is kind of disastrous for Alabama. So pressure on the Crimson Tide in this game. Alabama won their first two games pretty handily. Compared to some of the other number one seeds, like Purdue and Kansas, who are out, Alabama cruised past Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and Maryland in their first two games. Games that were played, I believe, in Birmingham, Alabama. Very close, very, you know, home crowd behind them, very easy circumstances, no travel, basically a short bus ride to get to those games. Not that Louisville's far away, but this will be different for them. Now they have to get on a plane, do the real NCAA tournament thing for the first time. The Aztecs, they've already gone across the country, won two games on the road, you know, basically on the road as far as you can get. This will feel very familiar to San Diego State. They're much more, I would say, comfortable in the NCAA situation than perhaps Alabama is going into the regional semifinals and finals in Louisville, Kentucky. I think that's another advantage for San Diego State. Finally, Alabama did not have to play a close game in the NCAA tournament. I promise you, they're not going to win every game by 15 or 20 on their way to a championship. They're going to have an off game. They're going to have to win a close game somewhere. If it happens to be on Friday against San Diego State, who do you think is the team that feels a lot more comfortable and experienced pulling out close games? San Diego State, which has had to do it over and over and over again, including in the first round of the NCAA tournament, feeling that pressure? Or is it Alabama, who maybe, when pressed for the first time, if this is close, if they're down two or three, you know, with 5 minutes to go, you know, how do they respond to that? That's going to be a new feeling for this team, whereas San Diego State, a little more comfortable in that situation. So, yeah, there are a lot of ways that Alabama could just end up running over the Aztecs, or the shots don't fall for San Diego State like they did against Furman. They're going to have another good shooting performance, you know, like they did. However, I think there's a lot of reasons to think that the Aztecs could actually pull off this upset on Friday and beat Alabama in this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Ben. I mean, it's, if you don't think that that's possible, you have not been watching this tournament. It seems every day that and every day it has happened. Some team that was supposed to absolutely truck the other team is losing. They're losing every single day. You've lost your winner. They're out. Arizona is out. There's teams getting ousted every single day. So I think, you know, if you're the Aztecs, you're thinking, why not us? Why not us go in and take it to these guys from Alabama? And they can absolutely win that game. They've got all they keep talking about on the broadcast. San Diego State, they're men. They're big, imposing men, and they can play with anybody. So it's going to be a blast to watch.
And now keep in mind, if they win that game on Friday, I already mentioned, they get the winner of Creighton, Princeton in the regional final for a trip to the Final Four. Creighton, a little revenge. The team they had by 9 in the first round of the NCAA tournament last year would be looking for a win there, or the Cinderella of Princeton. And if they do happen to get to the Final Four, I believe they face the East champion. No one or two seeds left in that bracket either. I mean, the toughest team might be Tennessee or Kansas State that you could face in a Final Four in a national semifinal.
You cannot look ahead.
I can look ahead. They can't look ahead. I can look ahead and say, I can say that the path to the national championship game is, you know, if you get past Alabama, yeah, Alabama is you know, the team that is probably the toughest one right now. But if you found a way to win that game, there's a real thought that San Diego State could be playing for a national title. But 2 weeks from today, I believe, a Monday,
you beat Alabama, all bets are off.
Yeah.
I mean, that you just took down the number one overall seed in the tournament.
And you're not facing a gauntlet of another, you know, couple of huge games. Now, every team's good at this point, and you got to keep playing well. But and then, you know, national championship, I don't know who emerges from the other side, whether it's a Houston or UCLA or Gonzaga or UConn. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of good teams there, but guess what? If I'm San Diego State, happy to take my chances in the national championship game against whoever they want to throw against you. What a remarkable opportunity this is for Brian Dutcher's program. A chance to do something even Steve Fisher, who we had on the show last Thursday, was never able to do in his time at San Diego State. Elite Eight and beyond, and it's right there for the Aztecs.
Right there for the taking, buddy. Right there for the taking. All right. Everybody happy now?
There's my San Diego State chat for you. Although that Fairleigh Dickinson story was, I mean, absolutely nuts. The upset of Purdue nearly made it into the Sweet 16. They had a second-half lead over Florida Atlantic, 16 over a 1. A team that, quite frankly, I mean, you're going through some of those losses that they had this year. I mean, losing to programs you've never even heard of.
Yeah.
This wasn't a particularly even great mid-major team. To pull off the upset that they did, and just the embarrassing performance by Purdue. They've got this 7'4" guy. You watched the end, right?
Yes.
Zach Edey, the probably player of the year in college basketball. I mean, there's only one way the shortest team in college basketball can face that guy. You double team him, you front him, you back him, and it's like Purdue was like totally caught, like, what do we do? I mean, they've got two guys on our big guy. I guess we'll just shoot threes and hope we make it. Well, that's exactly what Fairleigh Dickinson was hoping they would do. And they didn't make them, and all of a sudden, they had a game on their hands. It was one of the most stunning results probably in college basketball history. I mean, this wasn't just a 16 over a 1. This was not a great 16 over a team that shouldn't have had any trouble with them whatsoever.
It was cool. You know, we see every few months, right, a league comes to an end with a championship, and you get to see the celebration. Whether it's the World Cup, the World Series, the NBA Finals, the Super Bowl, we love watching the end, right? The celebration. And I was like screaming to my wife. She's in the other room, like, get out here. Come watch this, because it is rare. Like, this isn't the national championship game. But it is rare that you get to see somebody or a group of 12 kids. They're about to experience the greatest moment of their entire lives.
No doubt.
And,
no doubt.
And to sit there and watch it play out on TV, seeing the coach and all of that, it was special, man. And you're like, yeah, their run could very well end in 48 hours, but this will be the highlight of their life, beating the number one overall seed. It's only happened one other time. It was so much fun
to watch. Thank you for texting me, Ben, to tune in, because I was watching WBC baseball, and you said TNT now, and I just flipped it over, and I went, oh, my God, it was so incredible. Bo, my son, my five-year-old, had that pick as well.
He did.
Yes.
He had all the 16 seeds.
Had all the 16 seeds.
Ended up getting one of them right.
Getting one of those,
yes. Outside of the San Diego State game, the other Sweet 16 game probably looking forward to most is UCLA Gonzaga. Remember, 2 years ago, they played an absolute overtime epic, 93-90 game in the NCAA tournament that Gonzaga won in Indianapolis. So kind of a rematch, and two West Coast teams that will collide next week in Las Vegas. They're playing in Las Vegas, I think, for the first time in a regional final, semifinals and finals. So that one I'm looking forward to as well coming up this week.
What does San Diego State got to do to get a Sweet 16 game in Vegas?
That would be fun. We could all go to Vegas to watch San Diego State basketball. Yeah, Louisville's a little bit more of a... I mean, I wonder...
So the four host cities
I'm sure some
New York
fans
and
are
Las Vegas, Madison Square Garden and Vegas, and then Kansas and Louisville.
I'm sure some Aztecs fans are making plans to head out to Louisville, though. You don't get too many opportunities to watch your team in a Sweet 16.
They good crowd in Orlando this
weekend.
Yeah,
they did.
So
they did. You know, Aztecs
travel.
Always have good support wherever they go, and I would imagine. I mean, sure, Alabama will have probably more. They're a little closer, but it'll probably be, you know, fairly balanced. San Diego State will represent well in that game on Friday. It's the early game. The first game at 3:30, which is a little rough. I mean, you know, plan to get off a little bit early to watch, but it's also a chance to own that, just like they did on Saturday, where they had the national spotlight to themselves in that first game. For the first 30, 45 minutes, they'll be the only game on, and everyone who, especially on the East Coast where it's at 6:30, they'll all be watching San Diego State basketball again. Great for recruiting. Brian Dutcher taking it, you know, should be taking advantage of this big time. All right, we'll come back. We've got some Take on Woods ahead. We'll tell you about the Ben and Woods Open. Big week for our golf tournament. We'll give you that news as well. All ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.